Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen.
Praise God.
Well, I am excited about being here, and I'm having myself a great, great, great time. You forgive me, they say it's not good etiquette to say you're enjoying yourself, but I am.
I enjoy myself.
Amen. And my, this is a beautiful service, such fantastic music and singing. And we had Brother Wall up ministering for us a couple of weeks ago, and Brother Rutledge came up, and Sister Rutledge one night, and I didn't realize everybody in the world knows these folks. They are famous, famous people. I had a fellow tell me just today, said if Brother Rutledge would run for district superintendent, Brother Lumpkin would have to go back to Georgia.
Men bumpers at the same time.
All right. Amen. But we love Brother and Sister Rutledge. They are fantastic people. And you folks just really don't know what a great church you have and great leadership and how well appreciated and respected you are throughout the whole state of Arkansas. Folks love you, appreciate you, and respect this church. And the tremendous news of progress, growth. God knows how to get it all done. Sometimes we're not sure how it's all going to come together, how it's all going to work out. But it does.
It does.
It works out. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated, if you will, please. And I'm looking forward to God touching us and blessing us tonight. We bought a new church and new property there in Little Rock some 7 or 8 years ago. We paid $135,000 for 3.5 acres of land and a 5,000 square foot building. And today, a man didn't even blink. At $400,000, he said, I want to buy your property. It's close to some property he's got, and there's a road coming through there.
Sell it and come down here and us build a church together.
All right. But it's amazing what God does for you, not for the church, for the people of God.
That's right.
And I know great things are happening. I've seen the prophets that you folks are planning to develop, and that is just fabulous. Fabulous. And it can be and will be. If the good Lord tarries, the only thing that's going to prevent it is the rapture. And if he's going to come, he better hurry, because we're getting ready to do a lot of things. Amen. But I'm glad to be here, enjoying the worship of the Lord in the good spirit, and you just are fine, good-looking folks. And we're proud to be with you.
Praise God.
I trust we have several Bibles in the house tonight, and I want you to open yours to Galatians, the 3rd chapter. Galatians chapter 3. We are apostolics.
Yes, we are.
Born again, blood washed, spirit filled. Jesus' name, tongue-talking folks. Amen. Some folks call us holy rollers, and some folks call us more derogatory names than that. But we are, if you please, the children of the promise. And I want to enlarge upon that tonight. I want us all to be made aware that we are the children of hope, of promise, of inheritance. Amen. Amen, amen. And so in Galatians 3, we will begin with verse number 29. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Hallelujah. There are some things here we perhaps in our own finite minds cannot fully comprehend. Because, you see, I am a Gentile, and so are you. And if there's any Hebrew blood among us, it's not very thick nor strong, and it's probably all resident in Brother Rutledge. But this passage of Scripture tells me that if I belong to Jesus.
That's right.
If I belong to King David's greater son, if I belong to Abraham's progeny and yet Abraham's God, then I am the seed,
the
offspring of Abraham. And I become an heir according to the promises of God given to Abraham, according to the promises of God given to the Jew and given to the Hebrew. Amen. And we are tonight heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are heirs according to the promise, children of the promise, sons and daughters of the promise of God. Everything God promised Abraham is mine because I am Abraham's seed, and I received the promise through inheritance. Jesus Christ was the offspring of Abraham, and He is my Father. He is my Savior. He is my Redeemer. He is my elder brother. He's my bread when I'm hungry, my water when I'm thirsty, my lawyer when I'm in trouble, my doctor when I'm sick. Amen. He's my comforter and my counselor and my chosen king. Hallelujah. Everything I need, He is. Everything I want, He has. Hallelujah. For He said before Abraham was, I am. I am the eternally existent one. I am the forever one. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the ending, the author, the finisher. Amen. The I am. I am what? I am anything and everything and whatsoever you have need of. Praise God. Well, we travel this human pathway. We come to circumstances such as this tonight where we gather together. And there are many divergent needs among us. Somebody might not be feeling well, need a touch of healing. Someone might be emotionally distressed, need an inner touch, a healing within. Someone might be concerned about tomorrow or today or yesterday and have a few circumstances of dark, gloomy clouds. And maybe we're just a little bit low in the spirit. Maybe we just need a picker-upper, a refreshing and a refilling. Whatever I need, He said, I am. Whatever you need, He said, I am. The most marvelously amazing thing about the Lord of glory is the fact that He is the universally available God who knows, who cares, and who is able. Amen. He knows just what I need. He cares about me. He knows just what we all need tonight. He cares about us. And over and above His knowledge and His sympathy, the Bible said He is able. He can heal. He can save. He can strengthen. He can encourage. He can pick up, bind together, and bless. Amen. So I am counting on the bread breaker tonight. I am counting on the miracle worker and the master in His mission to take care of everything in the house we have need of. I feel this way about it. We should never go to God's house without being ministered to. Never. The Spirit of the Lord should minister to all of us. The preacher may never say a word that relates or is relevant to our need and our problem, but the Spirit of the Lord that knows everything is present, and the Spirit of the Lord should minister to us. Everybody in the house ought to be ministered to. Really? Because He is the one who goes about doing good, blessing, strengthening, encouraging, and working His good will.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. I remember when I first began to think about this particular verse of Scripture, and it said, I am a Jew. It said, I am a descendant of Abraham. I am Abraham's seed. My friend, that is strong. Not by virtue of natural progeny or birth, but by virtue of a second birth when Jesus became my Father, and I became an heir to all the promises of Abraham. Hallelujah! Everything God promised Abraham, God has promised us. You know, there have been times when we sort of envy the Jews because, first of all, have you ever met a poor Jew?
No.
I never have. There's something about it. They have a gift. There is a prosperity, something working in the seed of Abraham's natural progeny. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And not long ago, I was able to make a little sojourn through the Holy Land, and I will never forget the difference between the Jews and the Arabs. You cannot tell them apart from their skin. You cannot tell them apart from their eyes. They are olive-skinned and brown-eyed. You can't tell them apart by their size. They're big and they're little. In fact, they're hard to tell apart. Brother Mansfield, y'all remember Brother Mansfield? He was with me. They called him Gideon. Gideon!
Uh-huh.
What nationality are you, Gideon?
Yeah.
Amen. He didn't have a whole lot to say about it. He kind of enjoyed being called Gideon.
Yeah.
But you could tell the difference after being there just a little while between the Arab and the Jew by just the look in their face and the gleam in their eye, not the color of the eye, but I didn't hardly miss any time. There was something that looked empty and asleep and lazy in the eyes of the Arabs. And there was something that just jumped and skipped and darted and dreamed in the eyes of the Jews. They were aware. You would go to an area that was guarded by Egyptians or Arabs, and they were slouchy, sitting around, smoking cigarettes, flirting with the girls, had their guns draped around or laying on the floor. But you find a place guarded by the Jews. They were crisp and sharp, and their guns were at ready, and their eyes... It was really an amazing experience to me.
Yes.
Amen. We are God's spiritual Hebrews.
That's the truth.
Abraham's offspring and Abraham's seed. Now let me point out something else to you right quickly.
Yes.
The minor prophet said, "If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart." There is something you've got to hear, and there's something you've got to lay to heart. Here it comes. "To give glory unto my name, saith God," or "saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings." God had promised a blessing to Abraham's seed, a covenant promise. But here he is saying, "I will send a curse upon your blessings if you do not hear and lay it to heart to give glory unto my name." Hallelujah. There are a lot of Christians who claim by virtue of this promise in Galatians to be the seed of Abraham, but nobody deserves the promise like those who know that Jesus is Jehovah's salvation, that Jesus is the mighty God manifest in the flesh, that Jesus is the ultimate. Glory is being given to the name of the Lord of hosts. And there is an hour of revelation upon us. Jesus' name, Pentecostals, this is our day like we have never seen before. It's the day of revival. It's the day of growth in the church. It's the day of outreach and building buildings and getting ready for what God wants to do for us. Amen. He said to the great apostle, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock, upon the rock of the revelation of who I am, I'm going to build my church, and my church is going to grow and expand and be blessed."
Yes.
Hallelujah. And I get excited when I hear people talking about land and clearing and building churches, because I know it's to the glory of the name of Him who said, "I will build my church on the rock foundation of this glorious revelation." Hallelujah. Aren't we thankful tonight to know who Jesus is?
Sure.
I'm glad I don't have to subjugate Him to a second place in a non-existent Trinity. I'm glad I don't have to try to figure out how to give equal time to the Father and equal time to the Son and equal time to the Holy Ghost. I'm glad I don't have to figure out how they decided who would die.
Amen. That's
Amen. Y'all talking about video, forgive my reference to backsliding, but I saw on a video clip a minister telling about how God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost sat down in a heavenly council committee meeting and decided how they were going to work out the scope and scheme of eternal redemption. And God the Father said, this is the plan. He said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Somebody's got to die, and none of us have blood to die, so somebody's going to have to take on a body, and then somebody's going to have to go be a comforter. Now, let me add my twist to this. Preacher, he said it this way. He said, they sat down and had a board meeting in heaven. They had a committee meeting. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And God the Father told them what was going to happen, and he said, now we've got to decide here today how we're going to do this. And, of course, it fell the lot of the Son to go die, and it fell the lot of the Holy Ghost to be the comforter. That's wonderful. Amen. If I were thinking about it, I'd say, well, the Holy Ghost just lifted his hand and said, well, I'll be the comforter. Amen. Yeah. What kind of a father would send his Son into the arena of time to go through a bloodbath of agony? What would you think about a father like that? David sent a soldier into battle, and that soldier was killed by David's design, and the Bible called David a murderer. Amen. Now, how could God the Father send another God into the arena of spiritual war to die on Calvary, knowing full well what was going to happen? David said, send the fellow up there where he and withdraw. Send him up there and back away and let him kill him. And what... How could God the Father in morality, how could God the Father in any integrity allow a son, his son supposedly, to come and do the dirty work and do all the suffering and go through all the agony while he sits up there on his lofty ivory throne and looks down upon the scene of horror and ghastly blood? And when Jesus was praying in Gethsemane and great drops of blood streaming down, the Bible said the angels ministered to him. The angels ministered to him. Where was God the Father? And where was God the Holy Ghost?
Oh, God.
They left him. Pulled back and left him to die. Now, is that the kind of God we serve? I don't serve that kind of a God. I serve a God that looked down with compassion on a needy world and said, I will go unto them, and I will not give my glory to another, and I will not give my pain to another, and I will not give my mission to another, but I will go, and I will redeem them unto myself. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, the people of the name! He said, I'm going to curse the blessings of those that will not hear and will not lay at the heart to give glory unto my name. Hallelujah! Something in me wants to give glory unto the name of Jesus, the name of the Lord of hosts, the name of the mighty God. Hallelujah! For it is in that name and through it and by it we become the seed of Abraham. Hallelujah! It is through that name we have hope and we have promise and we have deliverance and we have forgiveness of sin.
Right.
Praise God.
You're right.
And we don't have the big argument and debate these days over baptismal formulas. There's a whole lot of people now just saying, well, I'm going to baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Or I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, which is Jesus Christ. Or just any variation of the name or the term, and somebody said, well, will all that work? And I'm not the one to decide whether it'll work or not. But what I do know is when I take a candidate to baptize him and put him under the water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am recognizing that he is the Father, and he is the Son, and he is the Holy Ghost. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. He's all of God there is. There ain't no more God. Amen! He is all of God. Hallelujah. And I don't want to be offensive or embarrassing to anyone, but I believe our hope resides in our ability to give adequate glory to his name. Hallelujah. Amen. And he said, my church will grow. I will build my church. My church will be a growing church on the rock of the foundation of the revelation of who I am.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, my folks, there is a revival of the name and the deity and the glory. And it excites me. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. And I'm reading again. in the same chapter of Galatians. If you belong to Christ, if you belong to Jesus, you're one of Abraham's kids. You're one of Abraham's seed. And you are an heir according to the promise. Now I'm going to back up in that same chapter and read something else that relates to that. Back up to verse number 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Why did he hang on the tree? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Ha ha! Hallelujah! Amen! Amen, 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 amen. Glory. Redeemed from the curse of the law. When we received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues, wild and woolly and wonderful. Amen. Got baptized in the glorious, lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Born again, hallelujah. Became children of Abraham, we were redeemed. And we were redeemed from sin, and we so often rejoice in that. But I want you to notice in this passage of Scripture that Jesus Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Right. And I want us to claim that redemption tonight.
That's right.
If we study the Old Testament, and there were some Scriptures I wanted to bring out, but for the sake of time, I will not. I'm going to just tell you a little bit about it. The Old Testament tells us that the curse of the law was threefold. It was poverty, it was sickness, and it was the second death. And when Jesus Christ redeemed me and made me one of His kids and caused me a Gentile to become Abraham's seed,
right,
He redeemed me from the curse of poverty.
Amen.
Doesn't mean we're going to all be millionaires, but He will help us meet our needs.
That's right.
Oh, I believe if we will honor Him and follow His Word and bring the first fruits of our increase unto Him, that He will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon us that we will not be able to contain. God doesn't want His children to be poverty-ridden and poverty-stricken. And again, I say that doesn't mean we're all going to be multimillionaires, but He wants His children to be blessed. Do you know why? He wants the world to say, look how those folks are being blessed. Why, God is blessing them.
Yes.
Yeah, because we are heirs. And we've been redeemed from the curse.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
We're the same pair of shoes for 3 or 4 years.
Amen.
I saw a preacher the other day and he said, Brother Clifford, look at the tires on my car. I looked at them and they had a pretty good little tread left on them. He said, I want you to know I have got 70,000 miles on those tires and had more tread left. Well, hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, it may not always work that way, but I am here to tell you that we have been redeemed from the curse.
Hallelujah.
The curse of the law, which is poverty, He redeemed us from that. Thank God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And sickness. There's healing in His holy work. There's healing in His blood and in His stripes. There's healing in His name and in His church. I just wish every one of us could reach out tonight and get a great big hold on His promises and rebuke the curse and claim the redemption. He has redeemed us from poverty, redeemed us from sickness, and redeemed us from the second death and a burning hell. Hallelujah! I'm glad to be His child. I'm glad to be His son and His heir. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! But oh, let me say this, that the blessing of Abraham, the covenant promises, the inheritance given, might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh, how I love that name. How I give honor to that name. How I lift up that name. Hallelujah.
That name is our redemption. That name is our hope. That name is our promise. That name is our power. That name is our blessing. That name is our salvation. Hallelujah. Through Jesus, I'm a child of Abraham. Through Jesus, I'm an heir to the promises.
That's right.
Amen, amen, amen. Face it, we are mongrels by blood because we are Gentile dogs.
Yes.
But He changed us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. I am excited about it. Why did He do it? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Verse number 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Hallelujah. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ, the anointed Savior.
Hallelujah.
He's not looking for a multiplicity of faiths. He's looking for the one faith that was delivered initially to the church. Hallelujah.
And
I want to share something else with you. We are living in a day of such unbelievable opportunity. There are so many crazy things going on today that it opens the door wide open for us. There's a lot of rich people. And there's a lot of super intelligent people in terms of college and training and degrees and learning. And do you know what they found out? They found out, doesn't matter how much money you've got, there's still something missing.
Right.
Doesn't matter how much intellectual attainment you get, there's still something missing. Amen. And the world is going crazy. The paranormal experiences, out-of-body experiences, reincarnation experiences, Eastern mysticism, gurus, and all sorts of things, because the super rich and the super intelligent are not happy. And they're pouring bundles of money and bundles of energy into blind alleys.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Right.
We know what they need.
Amen.
They need to hear and give glory to the name. And then they will know happiness. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. If you want to be happy, do the word. If you want to be blessed, obey the book. Hallelujah. And so the door of revival opportunity swings open so widely, I say, church apostolics, get through the door. And let's believe God. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
For all of the blessings promised to Abraham in the covenant have been made available to his grafted in seed, his newborn seed, the seed of his son, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Now, I'll accept Jesus as Abraham's son, but I won't accept him as God's son. I'll accept him as God's flesh.
That's right.
Hallelujah. But not God's offspring, son. Amen.
That's
it. Oh, hallelujah. So there is revival doors swinging open. There are doors of promise that swing open to everyone in this congregation tonight. I want you and myself to just reach out and get hold of the promises of God. He has rebuked the devourer. He has redeemed us from the curse. Poverty has no power over us if we will obey God's word.
Hallelujah. Thank God.
Hallelujah. Poverty has no power over us if we'll obey the word of God.
Amen.
whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your heart. If a man won't work, don't let him eat. I mean, there are principles of progress and prosperity in this book if you'll obey them. Good, energetic work, honesty, integrity, sincerity, working, giving yourself whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your heart. Bring the first fruits of your increase. Give God a little and He'll give you a lot. Amen. Hallelujah. For if we give unto Him, the Bible said, He will give back to us in like fashion and like kind. But when He gives it back, He won't give it like man gives. He won't give it like we give. We give 10% to tithes and 3% to missions and 2% to Sunday school. Amen. But He gives good measure, pressed down. That's how it comes back. Hallelujah! Shaken together and running over.
Hallelujah, hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Amen.
What would you think if you bought some cornflakes and Kellogg's and you open the box and the cornflakes just start? You have to look for them. Shake that box and that wrapper around. And then they tell you contents may settle in shipping.
Yeah, they settle in shipping.
The thing is only half full to start with. Amen. And then they settle.
Amen.
But when He fills up your basket and your store, when He sends you a blessing, He sends it good measure. He's already shaken it together and filled it again until it runs over. Hallelujah. I enjoy the blessings of God. I enjoy the songs of Zion. I enjoy the preaching of the Word. I enjoy the flow of the Spirit. I enjoy the presence of His power that has redeemed us from poverty and redeemed us from sickness and redeemed us from the second death of the burning hell. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm glad I'm one of them. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling all the young people, you need to be one of them. I'm telling all the mothers and the fathers, you need to be one of them. Hallelujah. Full of the Holy Ghost and power.
Amen.
Praise God.
Right.
For you see, that book from Genesis to Revelation is so full of miracles. Oh, it is full of miracles. But do you know, for every miracle, there was a critical crisis before the miracle? Amen. But, you know, we don't like to stop in the middle of a crisis. We don't want to leave Jonah in the belly of the monster. We want to get him out. Amen. Don't we? But before we could get him out, he had to get in the belly. We don't want to leave Daniel in the den of lions. All their hunger and halitosis. We want to get him out. But before we could enjoy getting him out, God had to get him in. Or allow him to go in. So if it's the lion's den or the whale's belly, the crisis only comes so God can work a miracle. How come this crippled man? How come this blind man? What's going on, God? This is going on, and this fellow was blind for 40 years so I could walk by today and the glory of God could shine forth. He had to be blind for 40 years just for today so I could show the glory of God. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful to know the Master? Isn't it wonderful to know the resurrection and the life? Isn't it wonderful to know the promise and the hope? Hallelujah. Let's stand together and lift our hands to Him and rejoice right now.
Glory,
glory to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.